If all goes well, sometime next week you'll have the opportunity to download the beta of the latest version of Freedom Scientific's screen reading software, JAWS for Windows. This is going to be version 4.5. We're going to have a look at some of the new features and demonstrate them to you, but to describe them to us and talk about the process, we're joined by Eric Damery, who's the product manager for JAWS for Windows. Eric, welcome back to the program. There are lots of things that we need to talk about with respect to JAWS 4.5. What have been your goals when you've been putting this release together?
Well, we wanted to, on this release, certainly address as many issues that the majority of our users are trying to deal with and are being faced to use every day. The Internet clearly is always on the top of our list, but also keeping into consideration the office suites and getting Java going better if we can and things like that.
Okay, we've got a list here of new features that I'd like to go through. But first of all, can I talk about some general things? There was some concern about sluggishness in 4.02, particularly with the NT-style operating systems like Windows 2000 and Windows XP. You've been able to get a handle on what's causing that and make some changes in 4.5?
Yeah, we've made a lot of underlying changes, addressed several issues related to using Braille or not using Braille, speeded things up in many different places, and I think, you know, the response back from our beta test team so far has been favorable for the most part. We still have some specific issues out there that certain people are running into, and we can't always reproduce these. Many of our beta testers can't either, but we're constantly working on trying to figure out exactly what it is that those issues might be. But for the most part, the majority of users should absolutely see increased speeds if they were having any problems before.
And I guess the public beta process may establish some consistency of patterns there as you get more people in the loop.
That's what we hope to. Our private beta group that's been ongoing now since May, I think, encompasses about 100-120 users around the world. And once we get to public beta, I would imagine we'll probably introduce another several hundred to that group almost immediately.
Another question I've seen come up quite a bit is support for the ability to use DVD-type players and functions in JAWS, which went away when you switched to NT or XP. Looks like you've fixed that one, too, with this release.
Yes, we did get that handled early on in this release, and we're still working through some issues. I'll be anxious once we get to public beta to hear some feedback from folks that are out there trying to do this. And we did get a lot of people in a home environment where some family member was trying to use the home computer with a DVD, and there was another member of the family trying to use JAWS, and there was a constant battle of unloading one to load the other one. So be anxious to hear if we haven't taken care of that now.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of DVD collectors who are blind, too, who'll be pleased about that as well.
Absolutely.
All right, looking at some of the new features, starting off with some of the small things, yet they make a big difference in your day-to-day functioning. You can now control the speed at which JAWS spells things, which is particularly useful in the Office spell checker, for instance.
Yeah, this is a feature that probably should have been put in 5 or 6, 7 years ago. I don't know how we overlooked this one. We call it spell decrement. It's an adjustment that users can make right in their global voices dialog box. And basically the way it works is if you've got your speech rate going along at a fast clip and you hit a scenario where something is going to be spelled, like the spell checker, it can slow it right down by a certain value. And you can establish that. We've set it up in Eloquence to slow it down by 30. So if you set your rate at 85, it'll now spell at a rate of 55 by default.
And if you set it at 0, presumably it doesn't change the rate at all.
That'd be correct. And so you could actually increase it, I think, if you, let's see. Well, that's a good question. I haven't even tried that one. But yeah, 0 would probably be the lowest, and that'll be it. It can't go faster than what the current rate is.
Yeah, I don't know whether you can give it a negative number or not. It'd be interesting to try and have a play when we get to the demo.
I haven't even thought about that one.
There you go. And
as we're talking about the spelling, though, there's a couple other things on the spelling, and I'm sure you've got your list to go through, but I want to make sure we don't miss them, and maybe they were and maybe they weren't.
Okay.
The ability, I don't know if you've noticed this yet, but when you get into a spell check dialog box and you tab into a suggestions list, now, by default, not only will it read the word as you arrow up and down in your list of suggestions, it'll say it and spell it.
Yeah, that is quite convenient. All right, and you can also spell the current line now by, again, a consistency thing that was probably just overlooked for whatever reason. You can hit the say line key twice in quick succession, and you'll get the line spelled to you now.
Yes, and you can, in addition to that, you can have it spell up to the current cursor location or from the cursor location to the end of the line using the on the numeric keypad, insert 7 twice and insert 9 twice for the second.
All right, and a biggie is your support for Macromedia Flash. The Flash MX6 that is out does incorporate Microsoft's Active Accessibility, and you've got full support for that in this release.
Yes, absolutely, and in addition to supporting it, we've got the ability in there so that if the active X control within Flash is forcing a page refresh, which is sending you back to the top, we're suppressing that. So that when you're interacting with some Flash component on a web page, it should be very clean and keep you right there.
There's been a lot of talk. Of course, the RNIB issued what was in the end quite a controversial media release about the way that Macromedia had done this, giving access to Flash. Why is it that JAWS seems to have taken quite a bit longer to give blind people the support than at least one of the competition has?
Well, it was a matter of getting the MSAA support that was available back into JAWS. It just wasn't on our development schedule at the time when it was being rolled out. I think it was last fall. And by the time we got into the first of the year, we got it on track for 4.5, and that's where it sat. So it just didn't get done for the 4.02 release. We've been, you know, really working on it and testing it since about March this year.
Is there an issue?
3, 4, 5 months behind, I guess.
Okay. Is there an issue to do with the ability of JAWS to interact with new MSAA applications as they come online? I mean, I guess many of us had this idea when MSAA was first developed that once it was in an application, a screen reader that was MSAA aware would simply work with it, but that's turned out not to be the case, has it? Each application seems to involve quite a bit of work.
Yeah, if the only thing that you're really going to, or the number one thing you're really going to count on in providing the support would be MSAA, maybe that's the first thing you're looking for, but it isn't necessarily the first thing we look for within JAWS, and certainly, you know, by default, that's not what we're counting on, so it's actually a matter now of setting up a communication between JAWS and the application that has the MSAA or the windows within the application that have the MSAA support and distinguishing that or communicating this information to JAWS. And you can actually do this now. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but you can go into the Configuration Manager or actually you can just go under the Window Class Reassignment, and there's a choice in there to say MSAA available.
Yes.
And so you just go right in, you go to your application that's got the MSAA support in it, and if you know it's there, and you can get right into the window where MSAA is available and turn it right on, and then JAWS will look for that first.
Another thing that, I'm not sure when this started, I think it may have been with 4.02, but you can now ask JAWS to rely on MSAA for list view controls, and in certain situations, that gives you a whole bunch more information than you used to get.
Yes, it does, absolutely. We still, you know, we find this to be good in some places and not so good in other places, depending on the order in which they deliver it to you and how you can control it and manipulate it with Braille. Generally, it's given to you all in one string, and it's just very difficult to break up and then maybe provide it to someone in a different manner.
That is one of the downsides, I think, of the current MSAA implementation that I have actually talked to Microsoft about, that there doesn't seem to be enough customizability of some of the messages that MSAA is sending out. And for some people who are, I guess, wanting to zap around, the messages are too verbose. And once you turn MSAA on in an application, there's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, and I think on the surface it sounds good, and I think many developers that are creating applications out there, and I think, you know, my hat's off to them for being, you know, somewhat sensitive to the issue and trying to do what they can. They're implementing the MSAA. They're hearing that, okay, it's delivering all this great information. However, they're not really looking at it from a perspective of a blind user who's going to use it every day and try and really be productive with it. So you've got to be able to control that information. You've got to be able to deliver it in a timely fashion.
All right. Now, if you have a focused Braille display, there is a bit more support in 4.5 now for using those whiz wheels to good effect.
Yes, and we're also bringing this in for the Millennium Note Takers with the whiz wheels as well. This was, you know, it's just a natural evolution of what the whiz wheel can do. If from within JAWS, you can go into a dialogue box, and the whiz wheel just, you know, knows where you are, and it knows that you're probably not trying to move by line, you're trying to tab through it. So you can keep your hand on the whiz wheel and effectively whiz wheel through the dialogue box, and if you get to the list view, you can just push down once on the whiz wheel, go to list mode, and then you can move through the list. So it's just a really slick little navigation tool.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Table support, you keep working on this, and there have been some very nice changes to table support in version 4.5, both on and off the internet, it appears.
Yeah, probably the biggest area of change, of course, is going to be HTML. We can talk about that quite a bit, I'm sure, but let's look a little bit at Word first and talk about what we've done there. We've really tried to incorporate everything we're going to do for tables on HTML across doc files, across PDF documents as well. So when you get into a table, you can use the same type of navigation keys. You can get header information for column and row headings on a Word table, and you can simply, just like with Excel, move to the intersecting row and column that have that header information, and through the verbosity dialog box, set it right up. So the next time you move into the table and you use Control Alt and the arrow keys to move around, it can automatically announce that information. It's quite nice.
All right. Now, let's spend a lot of time talking about what you've done with HTML. I'm just totally impressed, to be quite frank. you've given all sorts of interaction options between a screen reader user and the HTML, and it's difficult to know where to start, but maybe we could start with these easy navigation keys that you're introducing for Internet Explorer and, in fact, any HTML window.
Okay. I got to agree with you, my hat is off, you know, to the development team behind this thing and what they've been able to put together here, but also to the users, to the beta testers, to there are a lot of, you know, professional people out there in the field that are training on this stuff and know HTML inside and out that have really given us great insight. But let's get right at it. What about this easy navigation? You know, we've had a keystroke in JAWS to read HTML for a while. It was insert, enter, to say, move past these links and get me to some text. Everyone will be happy to know we've added shift, insert, enter to go back. But we've added many other things, and as we were doing this, saying, okay, so we'll add the control key to insert enter to do headers, we'll add the control shift key to insert up arrow to do this, and pretty soon you realize, well, no one's going to remember all this stuff, and quite frankly, that's what happened. People just didn't learn the new things. So we've decided that while you're in virtual buffer mode, which is when you're on a web page, you're basically reading the information in our virtual buffer. You're not really interacting or inputting anything. You have to go to forms mode to type text. So that basically means the keyboard is freed up. So we've added in quick keys. So when you're on a web page, if you hit an H, you'll go to a header. If you hit a T, you'll go to a table. If you hit an L, you'll go to a list. If you hit a V, you'll go to a visited link. If you hit a E, you'll go to the next element or end of the current element. So there's a whole bunch of ways to move through this, and then you just add the shift key to go in the backwards. You get inside of a table, you press R to read the row, C to read the column. You can use left shift with the R to read from the left edge of the row up to the current cell, or the right shift with the R to read to the right. Really quick and easy, and I think people are really going to get the hang of it fast.
And these commands can also be used in Say All, whereas a lot of the insert commands, I found problems with them using them in Say All. So that actually means if you're reading a newspaper, for example, and you choose your article, and you've got a list of common links at the top, you can just hit the letter N to get you to the next non-linked text. You don't ever have to come out of Say All, and it just picks up and reads the article to you.
Absolutely. Just kicks right in and keeps on going with the next thing, and if that wasn't what you want, hit it again. And it'll go right on to the next one. And then, of course, if you went too far, shift N, take you right back.
Now, the one downside of this is I do go to a couple of websites where they do use quick keys. So you sort of press B to get to the BBS or something like that. And I'm particularly thinking of the Talking Newspapers Association of the United Kingdom, which have, I think it's done with JavaScript. You can just hit the first letter to get to different places. And these features override those features on a website. Can you turn these off, or would you normally just use the JAWS bypass function?
Well, of course, you can use the JAWS bypass, but I think after floating this entire option out there with the testers, we've kind of come back with the agreement that we've got to be able to turn them off. So we've entered it into the Verbosity dialog box. You now can jump in there, and there's an item for navigation quick keys, and you can spacebar, turn them off, turn them on. We'll also have that attached to a keystroke, which hasn't quite been settled at the time of this recording, so users should watch for that, but there'll be a keystroke to turn it on and off.
Okay. You also can now select an HTML element. Now, people who perhaps aren't familiar with writing HTML may not really understand the significance of this or even what an element is. Could you talk us through that?
Sure. I'm not a coder myself and certainly not an HTML coder, but I'm getting a crash course. It's been great. I'm learning quite a bit about this. Elements are what's used to compose HTML for users. A link is an element. A heading is an element. A table is actually an element, but inside of a table, each cell contains elements inside each cell. And so when you say you've got the ability to select elements, you can, in a sense, go to the beginning of a table and where there's a description of the element that you're about to move into. It'll say table with four columns and six rows or whatever it might be. And while you're sitting there, you just simply press the F8, which is kind of like the extended selection keystroke from Word, and it grabs the whole table for you. Same thing for a list. Windows HTML has many, many lists available to it, nested lists, ordered, numbered lists, unordered lists, definition lists, and these are all elements, and you can grab different levels of a list. If it's got three different levels, you can say, I want to grab level 2 and level 3, or I want to grab the entire list, so you can just select it immediately.
And that brings us nicely to the next new feature, which is that JAWS now understands these lists. It's sensitive to them and will tell you when you're entering into a list, the kind of list that it is, so it will tell you the kind of thing you've just talked about, a definition list or a numbered list, and also let you know how many items are in that list. Where's this useful?
You'll certainly see it very useful on government websites where they're conveying information out to users and they're constantly updating things. They use lists all over the place. And I think what users will find that have been using screen readers is that there have been lists on pages that they've been using all along and they didn't even know it. But I think you'll see this a lot in big websites from government agencies, big corporations. You'll see them also in help files, in HTML help files. Certainly in ours, we'll be using lists and tables in there. The W3C, w3.org/WAI, has several lists on that page, and people will see how they're used.
It really does, seeing all this stuff there, gives you a fresh concept as to what pages are really well coded and what are not, because it's amazing how many people are using things like spaces to try and give visual layout that they want to convey, and yet if they use the proper HTML tags, suddenly the screen reader bursts into life with all of these abilities to move about.
That's right, and so a lot of this is still going to be education, but it's amazing how many web pages out there are actually done pretty well. And so even with, you know, so-called bad HTML, you're still better if you can get a handle on it, and at least now you'll kind of have an idea of what they were trying to convey to you. You know, several other things, I think, that may not be so obvious to most users when they first get started. A couple of things hidden in the Configuration Manager under HTML. You now have the ability to suppress page refreshes. You ever been on one of those web pages where you're going along and all of a sudden you're back at the top?
Yeah, ain't that a nuisance?
I wonder what the screen reader did to me that time. And you start reading some more and all of a sudden you're back at the top. This generally occurs because there is some action being initiated on the web page, which basically does a refresh. Like if it's a sports page, maybe the scores are being updated. And when these things happen, they send the screen reader right back to the top. And you now have the ability to go in and tell the screen reader to suppress those web pages or only do them like once a minute. Don't let it happen all the time. Kind of a nice little feature, and I think users will start to, as they start to explore, start to find some of these other things that are really hidden.
Yeah, that's a real development, because there's nothing more frustrating than that happening. I notice, generally speaking of locating your place, that JAWS is looking quite a bit more well-behaved in terms of remembering your place, particularly in email HTML messages. If you come back to one, it seems to remember your place a lot more readily.
Absolutely. And like I said, we put so much emphasis on this release, you know, on the HTML side. I think, you know, users are going to find those improvements, whether it be on IE in 6 or 5.5, or whether they're just reading in the help system, just reading the JAWS help system, they're going to find some vast improvements. And the IE help topic itself, which needed updating, is going to be completely redone. And all of these things, while we'll mention all of this stuff in the What's New section, and I'll go over as much as I can on the What's New CD when I do the recording here in a couple of weeks, we'll also... all of these new things are incorporated right into the entire help system, so there's one place to go and read the whole topic on it. People will get a good feel for it.
You really are fleshing out the documentation, too. I got a sneak peek at the IE help files that you're going to be sending out with 4.5, and it's like a user manual in itself. You know, there's a summary there for people who just need that, but for people who really want to understand the power of it all, there's lots of documentation in there, and it's quite clearly written.
Yeah, it was. It needed to be done. We had addressed the Microsoft Word stuff a year ago, and it was really time to get HTML. It's changed so much, and it'll continue to change, but. But I think, you know, we've raised the bar very high on this release with respect to HTML, and I think it was really time to pull all that documentation together in one place and get it written correctly, and I think we've done a pretty good job at that. So,
for people who code HTML, one of the features that I think they will appreciate is that you can now, from within the virtual cursor, get font information, which could be quite nice if you're trying to proof a page and want to make sure that your different size print, etc., is doing what you think it's doing.
Yes, you can turn this ability right on through the verbosity dialog box and step right through your document and find out what's bolded and what's, you know, centered and what point sizes are there and what the author was really trying to do, whether you were the author or someone else was. So, that's a great little feature. And you've also now got the ability, I don't know if you've done this yourself, if you're an author of HTML, you'll love the feature where you can do a insert shift F1, I believe is the keystroke, and it basically throws all the information about the elements on the page into your virtual buffer there. So you can find out if there are any unique things about the stuff that are on your page, your tables, your lists, and so forth.
That's a great feature, too. Let's see what else we've got. Gosh, there's quite a bit in the HTML, but I think we've more or less covered that. Auto text in Word is now a little bit easier to work with.
Yes. if you've got this turned on and you're typing and it automatically fills in the information as you go, that should be now reading correctly and help somebody who's been using that feature.
And we have a lot of people who are listening to this program using Winamp and will be familiar with the very good scripts that have been floating around for a wee while. You've got that Winamp support built right into 4.5.
Yes, we've talked with the folks that put those that functionality together, and they've asked us to get it included, and we've put it in. We've added a nice help topic on it, and we're going to be linking right from our help topic and identifying who these folks are out there that are writing scripts to kind of point people out and see what else they're working on, because there's a lot of things that are being done, such as SoundForge, where there are folks out there who are just really know what they're doing with these programs, and they're constantly keeping them updated and writing scripts, and the prices are fairly inexpensive, I think very reasonable for somebody who really needs that kind of access to a program maybe that not everyone is trying to use. So these folks that are helping to provide some of these scripts to people in general, if it really benefits everyone, we're working with them to see if we can include those. And so also you'll see MSN Messenger improve on this release.
What sort of criteria do you look at when you're talking about including third-party scripts? Because, you know, there's a lot that's good in this release that you should be proud of, but I also note with a little bit of concern that, for example, Audible Manager was well supported when it was version 2, but those scripts are still there and they're well onto a different version now. SoundForge, of course, has moved on as well, and some of the products that Jaws was supporting are now not being supported in their more recent versions.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you asked the criteria. What is the criteria? Well, it's really we've got to make sure that the scripts, first of all, do what they say they're going to do. And we've got to be prepared to somewhat stand behind these scripts, document them, support them in tech support, and keep them maintained. We've got to keep up with the applications. And that's a big challenge, and unless, you know, we've got a very large user base that's using that particular application, sometimes it's difficult. And SoundForge should be one of those programs. There are a lot of people that can benefit from it, but as a whole of all of our user base, the SoundForge number is small, and I'd rather try and keep supporting the folks that are out there writing the scripts to give them the functions they need and give them the support they need and let them really put the product together and make it work well. Same thing with Cakewalk. There's a great set of scripts for Cakewalk and a program called Cake Talking. And they have a great tutorial. It's been very successful. They really know what they're doing. They're the pros. I'd much rather see them do it and do it right. Now, Audible Manager, just had a conversation with the Audible Manager folks 2 days ago on the phone, and they're, too, very interested in having us script it up, make it a little better. So as we speak, I've got a couple of people right now working on that. And I hope to have that in 4.5 as well.
Because products like Cake Talking are brilliant, but they're also reasonably expensive, and people have some concern that they've paid all this money for a screen reader and that there is some responsibility on the part of the screen reader manufacturer to either script for these programs themselves or to purchase rights to include the scripts so that people aren't paying big bucks for third-party scripts for their screen reader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the cost, and I'm not sure what Cake Talking costs today. I know the SoundForge scripts, I believe, are $30. And Cake Talking, I'm assuming, is probably significantly more than that. I know that the hours of work that have gone into it is probably about 2 years' worth of work in fine-tuning that and getting it working. And if we had to pass that cost on to cross all of our users, it would simply continue to drive the price up for everybody. There are times when we may be willing to do that, but we've got to definitely believe that the masses really want it. So we'll see. We continue to add some things, such as Winamp this time and MSN Messenger, and we will continue to look at some of these other programs. But, again, I want to make sure that they really get the quality updates on their scripts and the quality support, and that's an awful big cost to bring into our company right now for a program that, you know, very few people maybe as a percentage are using.
There's a perception that Freedom Scientific is not scripting as much as it used to. Is that true?
I would say absolutely not. I think anyone who looks at 4.5 from a, whether they be a power user or a basic user, and tries to look at what we've done and what we've accomplished in this release, I think they would be really kind of taken back to say, well, are they really scripting? Are they really working on this thing? I think it'll be quite obvious to everybody we've really put a lot of time and effort into it. The amount of hours on the release has continued to grow. I think, you know, each time we do a new release, I think we put more development hours in for each one.
You've beefed up the Eudora scripts as well, and we got a few Eudora listeners, so we mustn't forget those. Some changes and stability enhancements there.
Yeah, and Eudora, there's a perfect example of a program that we don't use in-house ourselves. So our scripters and our developers and our tech support folks aren't real strong with that program. But we've got some pretty good users out there who are capable of writing scripts, who use it a lot. And that's what we did, is we basically, you know, we found the person to do it, and we turned to them and had them do the scripts, and the feedback's been great.
Now, there's always so much that people ask for, and your suggestions mailbox must get flooded with really good, valid ideas. What is there that isn't in 4.5 that you feel needs to be done that you'd like to get to longer term?
Well, let me get to that. Let me just point out, you raised a good point, the suggestions mailbox. Let me just repeat what it is, because, you know, we don't get enough. Suggestions at freedomscientific.com, and those pass across product management's desks here at the office, and I do encourage people to write in and try and, you know, really give some reasons for what they're looking for and some justification. And while we will not be able to answer every request, there are a lot of things that actually do get in that come across from suggestions, so I encourage people to do it.
I'm really surprised to hear that you don't get as many as I thought you did, because certainly on the email lists, people are full of saying, Jaws should do this and Jaws should do that, and obviously they need to follow through and get those to you guys, otherwise you don't hear about it necessarily.
That's right, and it's really, and I can't emphasize this enough, it's important that people explain why it's so necessary, because a lot of times it's very necessary and obvious to somebody who's trying to accomplish their job or trying to do a particular task that we may not be involved with doing. And so sometimes it's easier for us on the product management side to put forth the effort and get the development effort into features that are required by people, if we can stand up and say, and this is why it needs to get done. So we really encourage folks to communicate to us not only what they want, but why they want it. And that helps us pull it together. But let's talk a little bit about what we didn't get to, what I was hoping we would have. The first thing is the Internet. What we didn't get to. Well, we didn't get to something for the Internet this time that we really need to, and I'm going to, you know, recommit everybody to this year, and that is making this a little more understandable for someone who is looking at the computer. Because while this is all wonderful, and I'll tell you, somebody who's not seeing a screen is really benefiting from JAWS 4.5. If you're looking at the screen, you're still kind of lost as to where are they and what are they doing. We've got to get some visual cues up there. We've got to be working a little harder in trying to get the magnification software to work in conjunction with the screen reading technology. So we're working real hard on that, and it didn't make it in 4.5, but it's coming. We also didn't get to something related to what's called a DIB section, which is a very technical term for being able to read something that's been sent to a screen. In the case of Front Page 2002, Jonathan, one of your applications that you're patiently waiting for.
Very patiently, yes.
If you're in NT 2000 or XP, we're still not able to read that. And this is actually causing a little bit of a problem in some other places where Flash goes up on a web page can create some problems for the screen reader afterwards. And we're working hard on this, and I don't think we're going to have it completely solved in the initial 4.5 release, but it should be one of the first things that gets done in a free update down the road here.
All right, and 4.5 is an upgrade, which means that you get a credit against your SMA, or if you don't have one, there'll be a cost for it, right?
That's right. It is an SMA upgrade, we'll call it, and it's actually, if you look back over the last couple of years, we've managed to pull it off in August. This will be the third year in a row we've made the paid-for upgrade come in August, and we've done some updates. The first year, I think we had one update. Last year, we had a couple of updates to those releases, and I'm sure we'll have at least one update to 4.5 this year, but by all means, this release, once we get it out there, once we get it out to the public beta, and once we get it out as a release product around the 1st of September, I think that it's very solid. We're very confident and stand behind it, and we expect to ship about 20,000 CDs out in September with this 4.5 product on it. So we hope people, if they have an SMA, they'll be entitled to get the public beta. Should be going about the 6th of August. They're about that day. They should watch our site, and they'll be able to get a hold of it and start using it right away.
Now, I know this is very fluid and that things change quickly on this subject, but for people who have more than one Access Technology product who are using, say, Windows XP, there is a lot of interest in this new standard that is supposed to fix some of the problems with video chaining. How are things going with that? Can you give us a bit of an update?
Well, we think things are moving along. I think individually still the companies are looking at it from their side. We've certainly been working on we'll call it the DCM technology, in conjunction with Microsoft and GW and AI Squared and Dolphin. And this has been ongoing now for about 8 months or so. And we're getting to a point now where the companies are ready to all provide each other a version of their software with the implementation. And we've all got to begin the testing process and do this also in conjunction with Microsoft so we can get this not only rolled out for all of our customers, but also get Microsoft to get it right into, their technologies that they make available to all the mainstream apps as well. So it's coming along. It's not ready for the public at this point, but we are working with each other, and we are setting up a private listserv where we're all putting a few users from each company on it so we can now start testing together. It's going to be a while longer. I think we'll see something late in the fall.
All right, so not for 4.5 at this point, but probably in an update to 4.5.
Yeah, I think it'll be probably something in unison that all the companies will release something at the same time. I feel pretty confident that we're about ready to go, but there's a lot of testing that has to go on, and there's a lot of interoperability testing for each company to do with the other products. And if one person releases it and the others don't, what's the value? So everybody needs to do it. Everybody needs to release it at the same time, and I think we're going to be able to synchronize something later in the year.
Can I just ask you in closing to make some comments about the public beta process, because it's not a risk-free road to take for a user, and also the kind of feedback that you want from users who do try the public beta?
Yeah, you're right. It's not a risk-free thing. It is something where we try, we ask users that are going to download it to please not call into technical support with questions about it. The release will be coming soon enough, and we're kind of working through a few minor issues, but nothing that should cause any great pain. But users who are maybe at work doing a job, if the software you've got today is getting your job done, I would not encourage you to download the beta. I would say hold off. Unless you've talked to tech support and we've told you that this is an issue that we know the beta will take care of, so go ahead and download that. But if you do, please try it against your applications. Read the documentation. Make sure you've gone through and seen what we've had to say about the product, because things are going to feel a little different. They're going to behave a little different. It may not necessarily be a problem. It may actually be something we're trying to put in there for your benefit. And if you do find something, there'll be an address on the website where we'll ask you to send those comments in. And again, details, as much as you can give us, and we'll address as many as we can here in the closing 4 weeks. So we look forward to getting it out there and look forward to a lot of feedback. Of course, we'll be on the listservs. We kind of lurk in the background on the listservs and watch and see what folks are saying. So I'll be looking forward to seeing how this goes here in the next week or so.
Well, Eric, I really appreciate your accessibility and availability to Main Menu, and it's been a pleasure to speak with you. We're going to go away and show a bit of the new functionality now, so I appreciate your time.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jonathan. Look forward to talking to you again real soon.
That's Eric Damery of Freedom Scientific. Well, I have a early beta of JAWS version 4.5 on the system. This is a private beta, and there may be some changes to it that take place before it gets in your hands, hopefully about this time next week, if the beta cycle is on track. So this can't really be a tutorial as such, because who knows what could happen in the release between now and then. But it's really an opportunity for me to show you the kind of things that we've been talking about, because when we start discussing HTML and elements and attributes and things, it all gets a little bit academic, and this is an opportunity for me to put it into some sort of perspective for you. So we're running JAWS version 4.5. I have DeckTalk Access 32 up and running. And Freedom Scientific has also given me a series of web pages that have forms and different heading levels and lists, so that they're using these to demonstrate some of the new features in version 4.5. The first thing I'd like to do is show you an addition that we talked about to the Voices dialog. So I'm in the JAWS window and am going to press Alt-O to get into Options.
Basics, dot, dot, dot.
And we'll push V for Voices.
Voices. Global adjustment dot dot dot.
And we'll go into global.
Global.
And tab through.
Rate 220. Punctuation combo box. Sum. Person combo box. Paul. Pitch 100 left right. Volume edit. Set this spell rate decrement edit. Zero.
And I've got the spell rate decrement set to zero at the moment, which means that it doesn't change the speech rate at all when it is spelling something. And we already have Insert F1 help for this function. Let's listen.
When you hold down Insert and press Numpad 5 twice quickly to spell a word, the word is spelled at a rate of speech slower than the normal speech rate. This setting determines the extent to which the speech rate decreases from normal. Press Escape to close this message.
And we discussed whether you might be able to use a negative
zero.
Number, so I'm going to try that, or put, you can't do a dash in there to put a negative number, which kind of makes sense, really. So that's the spell rate decrement function. Let's demonstrate it. If I crank it way up, I don't know how high we can go. Should we go
zero.
To 200?
Uppercase, okay, but...
And I'll just bring up Notepad.
Untitled Notepad.
And type testing in here.
Testing.
Now.
Testing. T-E-S-T-I-N-G.
Very slow. So that's the spell rate decrement function. The higher the number, the slower the speech is going to be. We get out of Notepad now.
Notepad.
And I'm going to go into to Windows Explorer now, because that's where I have some of these web pages, and we'll have a look at some of the new features in that regard. As we mentioned with Eric, JAWS 4.5 will work with Macromedia Flash, so we might go to a Flash website as well just to demonstrate that.
Complex table number 2.htm.
Let's have a look at this, and you'll find that JAWS is working quite well in this complex table. We'll
complex
read what
table number
the web
two, Microsoft
has to say.
Internet Explorer. No links. Destination date, meals, hotels, grants.
All right, we're in there now, and I'll just go to the top of the page, because I have had a look at this table before going to where, and it's remembered where I was. So we're at the top of the page now, and we'll do a say all.
Complex table number two. The following table contains vertical merged cells. Empty cells and data cells are explicitly associated with our header cells with header attribute. Table with six columns and eight rows, summer.
Now, if I wanted to skip that, this is an example of some of these cool new quick commands. I could go to the top of the file again with Control Home.
Complex.
And I can push the letter T, which will jump me.
Destination.
Straight into the table at the destinations field. Now I can read this table just by using Control Alt Right Arrow.
Date. Wheels. Hotel.
So those are the headings. We'll go down.
Date. San Jose.
Date.
August 25th, 97.
Wheels.
37.74.
So I'm using Control Alt Right Arrow to do this.
Hotels.
And
112.00.
It's reading that.
Transport.
45.00.
Very well.
Subtotals.
And what you'll find, obviously, is if I tried to read this with just regular arrow keys. So we'll go back up to the top.
Wheels,
and you have the headers.
Wheels, hotel, transport, subtotals.
And then numbers.
San Jose. August 25th, 37.74, 112.00, 45.00, blank.
So it is quite a complex table, and as you can see, the subtotals field was empty, and it was able to verify that. So they have made some considerable improvements with respect to working with tables in this release. And of course, another option that I have is that I can get out of the current elements. This is really good if you're in a long table like this. How many of you have been reading a document and you've found a table that you really, you know, it's got a bit more statistics than you really want? You just want to move back onto the text. You can just push the letter E.
Table end.
And we're out of the table. Let's skip to the next element. The table is an element. And by pushing E, we've got ourselves out of the table. And we can now continue. There's nothing else on this page, but if there were, we would be able to continue through the page. So that's the table feature at a very quick glance. There have been a couple of changes to forms, nothing terribly earth-shattering, but they do make a bit of a difference. Just to summarise those briefly, forms mode is not turned on as often as it used to be, particularly with respect to checkboxes and radio buttons. What you used to find when you were completing a form with JAWS and Internet Explorer is that if you found a checkbox that you wanted to turn on or a series of radio buttons and you wanted to select a different radio button other than the one that's currently selected, you would have to press Enter, and that would do two things. It would firstly turn Forms mode on, and secondly it would select that particular control, uncheck the checkbox if it was checked and vice versa, or select the radio button. Now you can push Enter to do those things, select the radio button or change the state of a checkbox, but Forms mode isn't turned on, which is really good because it means you can just proceed through the form. And Forms mode is turned on for combo boxes and for edit controls where you need to type in text, so that makes things a little easier.
Form example.h. HTML lists challenge.html.
All right, let's have a look at the HTML lists challenge.
HTML
now.
Lists challenge Microsoft Internet Explorer. Six headings and no links.
We have six headings on this page. That gives me an opportunity to show you that it's really easy to navigate between the headings with the quick keys that JAWS now has. If there was a form field on this particular page too, I could push F and it would jump me straight there, F for form, so the mnemonics are good. If I push H for heading,
the HTML lists challenge, level 1.
Push H again.
Ordered lists, level 2.
And we'll keep going.
A simple ordered list, level 3.
Now if I push shift with H.
Ordered lists, the HTML lists challenge.
We're moving level backwards. One. Back in reverse order, up the top of the page, through the headers. That makes perfect sense in a Windows context, because we know that Tab will move us through a dialogue, for example, and Shift-Tab takes us in the reverse direction, backwards through the dialogue. And so that's what all of these quick keys have, is that you can push the mnemonic, F for form, T for table, H for heading, and Shift will move you in the reverse direction, a quick way to move around the document. E will take you to the next element, Shift with E will take you to the previous element. We can also get some information about what we're on.
HTML.
I'm now going to push Insert, Shift, and F1.
Element information. Tag H1 has 0 parameters. Tag body has 0 parameters. Press Escape to close this message.
And that's fine. It tells us that we're on H1, which is a heading level 1 tag. I can also do an Insert F.
Default extra large.
And it's on extra large. If I go back
blank, how well does your O
to this one here, the body of the text.
Default small.
And we're on small. So we can actually have a look at the font information, as I said in the interview with Eric, really good when you are trying to determine that your page is formatted the way that you think it is. Let's go through this.
How well does your screen reader or web access software work with HTML lists? Are the numbers or bullets for each list item spoken? Are you informed when you enter and leave a list? Are you informed when a list is nested within another list? This page demonstrates simple and complex lists and repeatedly asks the question, did your screen reader or web access software provide you the information? Heading level 2, ordered lists. Ordered lists are used in HTML to structure procedures, processes, or to outline information. Ordered lists normally display with numbers preceding each list item. Heading level 3, a simple ordered list. Below is a very basic ordered list. List of two items. 1. This is the text of the first item. Were you informed that you entered a list? 2. This is the text of the second item. Are the numbers preceding each item announced? List end.
So you see, you're hearing the beginning of list, and it's telling you the kind of list that it is, and then list end. If you don't like these messages, if you think it's all getting too verbose, they have added options in the configuration manager, in the HTML options, to turn all this stuff off.
Often lists are interrupted by text that is not part of the process or procedure. In this case, that text is not numbered, but when the list continues, the numbering does not start over at 1. List of two items. 3. This is the text of the third item in the list. Was the text preceded by the proper number? 4. This is the fourth and last item in the list. List end. Heading level 3A complex ordered list. The below list is a sample outline. It demonstrates both nesting lists within lists and using numbers and letters before list items. List of four items. 1. Text of first list item. Was the start of the list announced? 2. Text of second list item. Was the number before this text announced? List of two items nesting level 1A. Text of first nested list item. Were you informed you were entering a nested list? 3. Text of second nested list item. Are the letters before the list items announced? List end nesting level 1. 3. Text of third top level list item. Were you informed when you left the nested list? List of two items nesting level 1 bullet. This is the first item in a nested, bulleted list. Were you informed you had entered a nested list? Bullet. This is the second item in a nested, bulleted list. Was the bullet announced? List end nesting level 1. 4. This is the last list item in this example. Were you informed when you left the nested, bulleted list? List end.
So you might get that in a situation where, well, all sorts of situations, perhaps a legal document that you're reading, and you're really getting a sense of how things are looking, how the structure of the page is. And that's quite important, because there will be times when you may want all this turned off. But one of the things that particularly, I think, totally blind people who've never seen suffer from is knowing how things need to be presented visually. And getting access to more of this information, if we wish to have it, helps our understanding of layout and format. And frankly, that's very important in the employment stakes.
List end. Were you informed that you left the list? Heading level 2, unordered lists. Unordered lists are used to present parallel points or to list multiple items that do not necessarily follow in a particular order. Unordered list items are normally preceded by bullets, small solid circles. Heading level 3, unordered list example. Below is an example of a nested, unordered list. List of 4 items, bullet text of first item. Was the start of the list announced? Bullet text of second list item. Are the bullets before each item announced? Bullet text of third list item. List of 2 items nesting level 1, bullet text of first nested list item. Were you informed when you entered the nested list? Bullet text of second nested list item. List end nesting level 1, bullet last list item. Were you informed that you left the nested list? List end. Were you informed when you left the list?
And that concludes that page. So that's how the list system works. We'll get out of that page now. We can, of course, go to the top of the page and press L.
List of two items.
And we're in the first list.
1. This is the text of the first item.
Now if I push L again.
List of two items.
Of course, if we keep going here.
List of four items.
This is the complex one, I think.
1. Text of first list item. Was the start of the list announced?
Right,
list
if I could just go up.
The list is a sample outline.
Yes. Okay.
List 1.
So this is quite long, this list. This is where it's so useful to be able to just press E.
Were you informed that you left the list?
And we're right out of that long list. Woo. Let's close that and have a look at what else we have.
Test for structure and control.htm.
Now, this is something that shows off
test
the various
structure
headings.
And control Microsoft Internet Explorer. 3 headings and 2 links. Test for structure and control. Heading level 1 test document. Heading level 2A level 2 heading. Another little paragraph. Another little paragraph. Heading level 4 link a level 4 heading. A large quotation in English block quote start. Markup quotations. Do not use quotation markup for formatting effects such as indentation. Block quote end.
Now you hear the block quotes there. This is an HTML attribute I wasn't actually really even aware of until I started having a look at this. And apparently you can give a citation for the quote. You can source it. Let's just continue because there's all sorts of elements on this page.
A nested ordered list of 3 items. 1. First item. 2. Second item list of 3 items nesting level 1. 1. First element. 2. Second element list of 2 items nesting level 2. 1. First supplement. 2. Second supplement list and nesting level 2. 3. Third element list and nesting level 1. 3. Third item list and a nested and ordered list of 3 items, bullet first item, bullet second item, list of 3 items, nesting level 1, bullet first element, bullet second element, bullet third element list and nesting level 1, bullet third item list and a definition list of 3 items, first item equals definition of first item. Second item equals definition of second item. Third item equals definition of third item.
What we have there is a definition list, which people who have studied HTML will be familiar with. And so yours is saying equals to separate the word and the definition, or the phrase and the definition. So that's normally quite effective if the tag is being used correctly.
Blank. Welcome to the W3C way. Link test for new window.
And that is that page.
See?
That's what they've supplied us with to show us the new structure facilities. I'm going to go to a website now that uses Flash in part.
Open.
And we'll go to www.paradise.net.nz, which is my ISP, And there we go.
/logos/link. /members/link.
This is Flash.
/about/link.
And there's no alt text there, but you can pretty much tell what's going on.
/plans/link. /join/link. /mail/link. /help/link. HTTPS.
So that's link. A very basic demonstration of Flash. So that is a brief overview of some of the new features in JAWS for Windows version 4.5. Internet has played a big part in this release, and people will find also quite a few stability improvements that they will no doubt experience when they install the beta, which hopefully is due out in around about a week's time at the time of recording this. You'll be able to keep tabs on the beta cycle and find out when it's out by visiting www.freedomscientific.com.